This message is called The Target of Kingdom Change. And we've been going through Mark, and I've really been getting a blessing out of it. And Susie, her messages are just, well, I have to tell you something. Susie told me that in InterVarsity, which she's been serving with for so many years, Mark is their gospel. They just really focus on Mark because it's short and it's punchy and it's really just a neat gospel. But I love all the other ones too. But I just like, I just really have never taught a lot out of Mark, and this has been a blessing. But our scripture reading is verses 14 through 23, but Mark 7 starts out with a clash between kingdom living and religious tradition. The Pharisees criticized Jesus for letting his disciples eat with ritually unclean hands. They had to go through a ceremony of washing to be really clean. It was more like sprinkling too. Anyway, so he turns around and rebukes them for making human rules and saying they're God's rules. He rebuked them for that. In fact, he said that sometimes they even break God's law with their rules. And he said in verse 13, right before our passage, "Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition." You know, that's a pretty strong statement. You nullify the word of God by your tradition, by something, an external thing that you have created that you say, this is the way to be holy, and you nullify the word of God. So that's the context that our passage begins. And then he begins in verse 14. "Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, 'Listen to me, everyone, and understand this.'" In one commentary, when I was looking at this, they said that this thing that Jesus taught was one of the most clashing things that he could have taught to the Jews, because they were so into an outward form of religion. And so he says, "Listen and understand this." He really wants people to get this. So he states this kingdom principle that we're going to look at to expose his critics' error. And then in verse 16, and this is why I believe the New King James, and some other translations do continue to have this, although they say it was found in it was in a lot of manuscripts, but it was found in an older manuscript. Supposedly it wasn't there. But anyway, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And you know, that's repeated several times in the Bible, where Jesus has taught something, and then he says, "If anybody has ears to hear, let him hear." You know, and what that really translates is, if you are open to obey, then listen. Then listen. Outward legalisms don't help, but they sometimes and often do hinder seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Only those who are willing to obey would learn that the king's reign inside produces the kingdom living outside. The king's reign inside produces the kingdom living outside. So he gave them a principle to change their minds. And this is in verse 14 and 15. "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." He said, understand. And false understanding has been around a long time. False understanding began when we took forbidden fruit that gave us a moral independence from God. We could choose right and wrong on our own. We were independent from God. And then religion. Religion started right next, the same time. Began when Satan told Adam and Eve, "Hey, you guys are naked. Hey, you're naked." You know, that's why God asked, "Who told you you were naked?" It was Satan that told them that. So what did they do? They, with their new independent thinking on their own, they tried to fix their internal problem. They tried to fix their internal sin problem with external fig leaves. That was the first part of religion, trying to fix it. Well, textiles, plant-based materials for making clothing. That was our first external right to make things right. That's a pun? Okay. And it didn't work, because God had to sacrifice innocent animals to cover them up with the skins of those animals. And that word cover, we think of the word cover, the big cover-up. Well, covering up, the word karfar is the word atone, and it means to cover over. And it's very interesting that what it really was pointing to, it was foreshadowing something that humans needed, that God was doing something. Humans needed to be covered and atoned for with a sacrifice, an innocent sacrifice. And that was pointing to the ultimate sacrifice that would not just cover over sins, but take sins away, the cross of Christ. Well, later, God restricted Israel's diet. And that was to show their distinction from the countries, the ungodly countries, unholy countries that were around them. But their focus got so turned inward or outward to this idea of their diet, they turned it turned it into a false religious trust. That if I have this diet, it's going to make me holy. It's going to make me holy. Instead of realizing it was the presence of God among them that made them holy, they were looking at the diet. Well, religiosity trades an internal walk with God for external rules that can never produce holiness. They can never produce holiness. Paul addresses this in Colossians 2, where he says in verse 21 through 23, "Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch." These are all based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. They look like they're wise. They look wise. They have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. They don't make you holy. The king's reign inside produces kingdom living on the outside. Did the crowd get that? Well, did the disciples get it? Well, probably not. Because in verse 17, after he had left the crowd, he entered the house and his disciples asked him about this parable. So Jesus clarified how this principle eliminated false targets. In verse 18 and the first part of verse 19, "Are you so dull?" he said. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it does not go into his heart." It does not go into his heart. He wanted them and us to know that do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Those are useless. They're as useless for bringing us holiness as outfits made of fig leaves. That doesn't bring holiness either. It's all external. It doesn't really change the heart. The point is, they miss the point. Outward religious do's and don'ts don't do what they say they do. They don't do the job. They miss God's target for holiness. Now, this is where I'm going to get a little bit biographical, and I think you all relate to this too. Don't grow a beard. Avoid rock music, no card games, no dances, no alcohol. And girls, no short shorts or dresses above the knee. And you guys, don't you ever see girls naked, because you will lust if you do. Well, that has an appearance of wisdom. And in some areas you say, well, that's a why, some things are wise. But when I became a male RN, working in the hospital with female patients, I discovered that last one about guys to be a religiously wise lie. And why was it a lie? Because it didn't hit the target that God wanted to focus on. We're told to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And what is the beauty of holiness? What is holy beauty? And Peter's words, now this is to women, but it can apply to all of us, but Peter's words defining true modesty. This is what the Bible teaches about modesty. Not what we have turned it into today, but Jesus' words defining true modesty, or Peter's words defining it, and Paul too, but Peter here, in 1 Peter 3:3-4. Do not let your adorning be external. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. The heart is the target that God is shooting for, and that's what we should shoot for. The king's reign inside produces kingdom living on the outside. As a male L&D nurse, I had to trade a religious don't for a holy do when it came to seeing hospital nudity. You know, there was a thing that came out some time ago, back 10 years ago, and it said, you can't look at a woman too long, you guys. So glance at them and bounce your eye. Just don't look at them. Just say, oh, pretty girl, but bounce your eyes at them. Ask me to bounce my eyes when I'm helping deliver a baby. Come on. So anyway, Jesus said in Matthew 5:38, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's not an eye problem. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. The king inside teaches us how to see all people, whether they have clothes on or whether they don't, to see them as people that he loves and see them as he sees them. And that's how we should see everybody, as the way God sees them. And that comes from inside, Jesus living on the inside and teaching us how to do that. It's not what enters the eye, the ear, the mouth that defiles us. Jesus says he went on and said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. It's crucial that we get this. And so he emphasized it by showing what this principle is really targeting for change, this principle that he's talking about. In verse 21 and 23, he makes this list. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. External religious legalisms are sinful. That's why Jesus was so strong on this. They can nullify the Word of God. They're sinful because they miss the mark. That's what sin means. It means missing the mark, and these miss the mark. An outward focus aims at false targets and causes many people to miss the true heart change that Jesus is after in our hearts. Now, if we take this list and read it again slowly, and you can do this later, but think of how the media takes every one of these evils and makes them into headlines. But do they ever offer the solution? No. They just blow it out. Wow, this has happened. This guy killed this person. That person ran off with somebody else's wife. And it's like, you hear all this. Where's the solution? Jesus, the King, he came to give us the solution. And I'm repeating it again. I think I said it in two of the other sermons, and I'm saying it again in 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the devil. Each of these evils are dispelled by letting Jesus the King indwell and rule in our hearts. Now, John's gospel, with its kingdom emphasis, has a great kingdom emphasis. It shows this kingdom principle. It's just a beautiful principle, and I've said it so many times, you're probably going to remember it now. The king's reign inside produces kingdom living outside. That's the pattern, because that's the pattern of Jesus living in our hearts. Now, if we get distracted from this principle, you know, we can get distracted from it. Satan might tempt us to judge others by outward appearances. Oh boy, that happens so frequently, to judge others by outward appearances. Or to return to our old trust in holiness from outward practices. Some people think that if they come to this table, just by taking the communion, they're going to be more holy. But you have to feed upon Him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving, in your hearts. So, that's the key. What we have to do is remember, if we ever get tempted that way, to get distracted in outward things, is to remember that the kingdom of God is where the King lives and reigns. And then to resubmit ourselves again to this clear definition in the scripture we read for our meditation, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, thank you for this time. I pray, Father God, that you would really help us to brush off all these things that are outward, that we trust in, and really focus on you on the inside, so that we really will live kingdom living and see people the way you see them and live the way you want us to live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.